Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of the Chai Lounge with myself, Safira Kaka. And I am so excited about today's guest. I'd love to welcome to the Chai Lounge, Aisha Jakut. Aisha, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm so excited to be here with you, Safira. You have no idea.
I couldn't contain my excitement. That's why I couldn't sleep after Fajr this morning. I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be one of my coolest episodes.
I hope so.
It's an honor to welcome you to the studio, into the Chai Lounge, my space where I have conversations with inspiring Muslim women like yourself. So I want to jump straight into it. Aisha, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am, first and foremost, I'm a Muslim woman. I'm a mom of three beautiful daughters, my girls. Don't want me to call them kids anymore because they really aren't kids anymore. My two older daughters are adults.
Wow.
And then I have one daughter in matric this year.
Okay.
And yeah, mommy, please respect the fact that we are grown women now. You can't call us kids. So yeah, so my whole life basically revolves around being a mom and creating a harmonious home for my children.
Really?
And that I think is something that people don't see online because it's something that I've kind of not ever put out there really.
Okay.
But that really is the essence of who I am.
Okay. And yeah, what's it like being a girl mom? It's lots of fun moments.
It's the most divine thing ever, I must tell you. The other night when I was packing to come to Joburg, we had a tea party in my closet. Simple exercise could have taken half an hour, ended up being a 2-hour fashion show and a fat chat. And to sum it up in a nutshell, that is what being a girl mom is.
Really?
And also because I had my kids so young,
yeah,
I feel like I've grown up with my children. And it's a ball of fun. Experiencing life with them is one of the most amazing things for me.
And seeing things from their perspective.
Absolutely. And they teach me so much.
Really?
They really teach me so much. Not just about, you know, teenage lingo and that type of thing. Just about life, about how doing things differently often results in a better result. It doesn't have to be the way we were taught. Maybe doing something a little bit differently gives you a way better result. So I've learned so much from my kids and I look forward to continue learning from them.
And there's something so cool about being a friend to your kids.
There really is. Yeah. There really is. You know, oftentimes you hear people saying, oh, you know, I know everything about my child.
Yes.
And then I think, okay, but do you really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With growing up, I heard my mom say that often. Oh, I know everything about my children. And I would think, really, do you? But with my girls now, I feel that I can say that with so much confidence and it be absolutely true, purely based on the types of conversations that we are having. You know, there's no judgment ever. Obviously, there's always guidance.
Yeah.
But the topics that we speak on and the things that my girls are so comfortable to speak on, I know that there's nothing that they won't tell me. So I do know that, you know, that the level of honesty is maybe at 110%. Whereas mine with my parents were maybe at 90. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I totally get
it. So I appreciate that. And I know that it's not something that just happened. It's obviously built over years, you know, and the trust. Because there's got to be an exceptional level of trust in order to get to that point.
Yes. I hear you because I have a teenage son. And the other day I asked him, give me feedback on parenting. Like, I just really love you. And I thought to myself, I would never have asked my parents that. But we have this relationship, this like friendship relationship. But then there's also this balance that needs to come in where you need to parent now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, the thing is with my girls, and this was my mantra with them since they were little. I'd say, you know what, girls? It's the first time that you are 10 years old. It's the first time that you are 16 years old. It's the first time that I'm a mom to a 10-year-old or a 16-year-old. So we got to figure this out together, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes parents are hard on themselves.
Definitely.
Because, you know, there really is no guidebook.
There is nothing. And parenting in this day and age is not a joke.
It's a challenge.
It is. It is quite a challenge. So you have this amazing presence on social media. It's almost like listening to a friend talk and you keep it so real. What inspired that? What inspired that you to pick up a phone and discuss issues on social media, especially TikTok? I love your TikToks.
So it's so strange. What happened with my TikTok is that my very first post went viral.
Okay.
And it wasn't even me speaking. It was, I mean, I can see it so clearly. I was in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was tying my scarf to cover my whole face and everything because, it was the beginning of COVID time and people were looking for creative ways of, you know, putting on a mask and this and that. So I literally just tied the scarf to cover my face.
Yeah.
I was wearing a sleeveless top.
Yeah.
And the jeans. I can still picture myself. I see the video in my mind's eye. And I think the reason why the video went viral was the amount of hate that I received.
Really?
Because I was covering my face.
Yeah.
But my arms were showing.
Okay.
That was not the point of the video.
Yeah.
But it ended up being the discussion point of the video.
Okay.
And without thinking, I clap back.
Yeah.
Because that's me. You're yeah. not going to be nasty to me and expect me to keep quiet.
I screenshot all of your message, your little quotes.
So I clap back and I was like, okay, look, don't worry about it. If you think this one was entertaining, next one I'll wear shorts for you. And then I realized that I touched a sensitive point. Because at some stage, a number of weeks later, I received a screenshot of a conversation from somebody with someone else about that video. And the funny thing is that somebody, let's call it a stranger, had sent this video of me tying the scarf to somebody who knows me.
Okay.
Not knowing that this person actually knows me.
Okay.
This person didn't take any time to defend me or say, oh, you know what? She's actually like that in real life, or you're looking at it wrong.
Yeah.
They encouraged the nastiness. And then what blew my mind was they had taken a screenshot of that conversation and sent it to me. And I was like, this can't be normal. Why yeah. would you do that? Anyway, and then obviously I realized that, you know, with TikTok in the beginning, there was a lot of dancing and singing and that type of thing. And I knew that I was not going to dance or sing on TikTok.
Okay.
But I quickly realized that in posting things, what people were responding to.
Yes.
So if I was there, because TikTok in the beginning, and I don't know if it's because my algorithm is different now, but in the beginning, you were just bombarded with a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so if you tried to like do cooking or something like that, it didn't take off.
No. You need to find a niche. You needed to find a niche.
And I found that people responded greatly to me speaking.
Okay.
So all my talking videos did way better than me trying to create the same content that I had on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't translate well. And then,
because TikTok doesn't do curated.
Yes. So for me, when I thought it was just going to be a migration from my Instagram onto TikTok, I quickly learned that that was not it. Because on Instagram, I wasn't speaking ever. It was just, you know, pictures. And it was very polished.
Okay.
And I found that if I made a video in the morning with messy hair, as an example, sitting there having a cup of tea, just speaking my mind, people responded to that. And then I thought, no, this is the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, on Instagram, it was always, oh, I need to put on lipstick. Whereas on TikTok, it was fine.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. And I think, or not even that anybody cares, people appreciate that it was so real.
Yes.
That there wasn't, you know, this polished look. Look, there is definitely a market for the girls with the polished look. I love that. There are certain girls I follow because they are so polished.
Yeah.
My audience didn't want that from me. So I just went with what worked.
And you just take the phone, talk, and...
Or if something comes to mind, I quickly... Because I do a lot of videos in my car also.
Yes.
So while I'm driving and something comes to mind, before I forget it... Quickly. Often I'll say, guys, quickly, I need to tell you something before I forget.
I love those videos. It's like a friend talking to you.
And I'm grateful that there are people out there who see that, you know, because I know that there are a lot of lonely people who DM me and mm-hmm. say, if it wasn't for your videos, I don't think I would have made it through, you know, whatever struggle they were going mm-hmm. through. So I get a lot of that. And then that's like validation for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I but quite enjoy that.
But it's also like scary, like the hate started from day one, essentially. And for anybody else, they could have said, I'm not doing this anymore. How do you deal with this, the social media landscape that has become so toxic?
You know what I find that, and I say this to my kids all the time, if you don't have the courage to say something to someone in person, why would you say that to them online?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had the most horrific things typed out to me. You know, you're ugly. I don't know. Just like, why are you doing this? You're on here because you need validation. You're bragging. You know.
Mm.
So what I did was, I got to a point where I figured out, okay, there are certain words that trigger me.
Okay.
So I went into the settings and I blocked those words out.
Okay.
So those comments still arrive, but my audience don't get to see it. And then I easily just go and I block those people. I can't understand how someone would take the time to create a fake profile.
Mm-hmm.
And often the comments are targeted at me. It's not like a general troll.
Yes.
You get those.
Yeah.
But I find that there are people who would take their time, make a fake profile, come onto my page, say the most horrific things to me, and then just expect that to be okay.
How's your mental health when this happens?
I'm okay. Really? I'm strong mentally. You know, I saw a podcast once where there was also a conversation going on, and the one lady said, you know, if you're going to respond to every hate comment,
mm-hmm.
why are you not responding to every positive comment?
Mm-hmm.
Because the positivity is what keeps you going.
Definitely.
So just cancel out the negativity. So for me, you know, I try to steer away from the bad comments. But then there are times where I think, you know what, I need to remind you who I am. And then I will clap back.
Yes.
So for the most part, there's a lot of hate going on my page that my audience don't get to see.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a good thing that I can protect my audience from that, because I've had instances where, I said this to someone the other day, my audience love me so much, alhamdulillah, that they will fight for me. You know, they will literally fight for me. And the other day I said to someone, I'm taking you all with me. And guess where we're going? We are going to Gaza. And I'm putting you all on the battlefield because you lot will win a war for me. So I'm grateful for that. You know, it's not the easiest thing, but it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me.
I think your approach to it is amazing. Does going viral and having such a, I think you're a powerful woman. I think you speak your mind. You articulate yourself so well on social media. Does it come with a bit of backlash in your personal life, like friends and connections and networks?
You know, it's so funny that you would say that. My friends, my close friends, because you know, you've got your circles, but my innermost,
the tribe.
Yeah, my innermost circle. My friends did not know that I had a following on social media.
Really?
So many of my friends had to download TikTok to understand what was going on. Because in the beginning, it was fine.
Yeah.
Nobody knew me. It was just this silly girl sitting there speaking. And then as time passed, they would say, but now what's going on now? You've got strangers coming to speak to you. And also, my close friends are very protective. So like, who are these people and why are they speaking to you? And then I was like, oh, no, they follow me on social media. And they're like, oh, on your Instagram. No, there's this thing called TikTok. And then, so now my friends have TikTok because they, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's not like I instantly got to 100,000 followers. It built up over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I also had enough time to adjust.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Like I like speaking to people. When people, you know, approach me, I'm very friendly. I will chat to them. You know, even when I'm having a down day, mm-hmm. I feel that it's already taken so much courage out of somebody to come and speak to me.
Definitely.
So, you know, chatting and, you know, asking how their day is the least I can do.
What's your most memorable video to date? The one that just sticks with you?
Oh, God, there's so many, because quite a number of my videos obviously have gone viral. But I've got like a few videos with my girls. They don't like to be on camera. They're not into social media, really. But there are a few that I've made with my girls that I quite enjoy.
Really?
Yeah. There aren't many, but I quite like that.
Speaking about social media, you know, we've 15 months post-genocide. How do you feel the perception towards influencers and just the way the social media landscape has unfolded in this couple of months? What's your thoughts on that?
You know, In the beginning, I was very vocal about the fact that people with a social media presence and with that a social responsibility, very few use their voices.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like I said, I was very vocal about it. And then eventually I thought, you know what? I have a presence. I will do my bit.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's only people with a social media presence or online presence who have that responsibility. Mm-hmm. All of us have that responsibility. The fact that some of us have some followers, that falls by the wayside. Everybody should be using their voice.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Whether it is speaking to somebody you run into randomly, whether you're sitting in a coffee shop and you overhear something that doesn't sit well with you, you know, turn around and it's all in the approach. Maybe say, you know what, I don't think that that's quite right. Or, you know, whether it is making a full-on post saying, this is wrong.
Mm.
You know, I could understand initially why, you know, influencers weren't speaking on it because they were worried about brand deals. And luckily for me, I didn't have that. I could use my voice.
Yeah.
And even if I was in a position where somebody would be unhappy with me saying what I wanted to say, I would be in the position to say, you know what, then I cut ties. I'm always going to put myself and my voice and my opinion ahead of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you find what I say offensive, it doesn't come down to rands and cents for me. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. I'm so grateful for that. So it was very disappointing that there were people with bigger audiences who just decided that they would not speak on it. And I was vocal about the fact that they were not being vocal on it, you know. But again, you know, I think that all of us have a voice, whether it be a loud one or a whisper. We have a responsibility.
Absolutely. Has it changed you in any way? Like, I feel like things have changed for me drastically in this last 15 months.
It has. It has. I think that I've become more aware of what I post online.
In what sense?
You know, initially, so just to go back, you know, when I came over from my Instagram was very different to my TikTok.
Mm.
And my Instagram, I used to post high-end luxury things.
Yes.
I used to post supercars and, you know, it was really a niche market. And when all of this started to unfold, I really went almost mute on Instagram because I just felt that there's a time and a place for everything. And this was not the time and definitely not the place for it. There were people who were looking for the basic bare necessities, you know, drops of water for their children and a supercar, no matter how beautiful it is, it just didn't feel right.
Didn't set
you know,
right.
I felt like that there would probably come a time where I would go back to that, but doing it right now, for me, everything is about how I feel.
Yeah.
And this just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that it has changed me. I'm a lot more conscious of the things that I post. I'm a lot more conscious about the conversations that I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my interactions are more with intention.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's really, really interesting how life has changed over these last few months. Even our consumption of luxury. I wanted to touch on this because I loved your little video with Love Luxury. What are your thoughts on the Walmart Birkin?
I must be honest, you know, I love the Walmart Birkin. I just
really
feel like, no, you see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not about gatekeeping.
Okay.
If you are in by the means, alhamdulillah, to be able to afford the real thing, by all means, go for it. Buy 10 of it if you have to.
Okay.
And I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Because I think that oftentimes when Allah has blessed you with certain things, you should be conscious of how you display that, but you shouldn't also be in such a state where you feel that you need to hide it.
Mm.
It was granted to you
for
a reason. You either made dua for it or Allah has written it for you before you were even born. So I don't think that you should hide that, but you shouldn't also be lavish and display it. I mean, there's such a thin balance. However, I don't feel like that design of that bag should be gatekept. For what reason? If you're going to go out to Walmart and buy this Birkin, you know it's not the real thing.
Yeah.
It's fine. Wear it. Why? I mean, we've got so many of those cute videos where they say, oh, get the look for less. My thing is, when somebody is by the means and they're hating on someone who has got now the smaller, cheaper, you know, version of the thing, why are you mad? Are you mad because she looks better than you in her knockoff. Are you mad that you spent X amount and she looks beautiful in it? So I don't get it. You know, the other day I put out a post because I had overheard a conversation.
Yeah.
It was two girls, and they were wearing these country road bags.
Yes.
And the one made a comment and said, oh, she's wearing a fake one from Fix. And my head was spinning and I laughed inside. Obviously, I didn't say anything to them. And I made a video about it and I said, you know what? If you've got a country road bag, why are you hating on someone with a cheaper version of it? Because the country road bag is also a knockoff. The country road bag is a dupe for the Marc Jacobs, for the Chanel. There are so many of those
yes.
type of bags up there in the high-end luxury market. So the country road bag is not really it. So if you're wearing one from the Fix, that's just crazy because your one is not the original one to begin with.
Rocket
girl. You know? So for me, it's just wear what you can afford, wear what makes you comfortable. If you are going to get to a point in your life where you are looking at what everyone else is wearing, you're going to make yourself miserable.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah. And life is too short to be consumed by what others think of us, what others are looking at us. Half the time, people are so far up their own behinds that they don't care. The reality is that they don't care.
Yeah.
And the only place where people do care is in our heads.
I was reading that one of the consumptions of A-grade fakes, one of the biggest consumptions, biggest markets, is actually the super, super, super wealthy. Because they don't care.
Yeah, and also, you know.
And they'll mix the fake and the real. And absolutely. They just don't care.
So I follow Brittany Frankel. I don't know if you know who she is. I love that woman. She is hilarious. Also, has access to all the original things. And from time to time, she's like, okay, I'm going to switch it up now a little bit. She was one of the first people to go out and get the Walmart Birkin. You know, she did a comparison. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter.
I want to touch on faith. You know, you started your TikTok career with an assumption of your faith.
Yes.
And again, having this presence on social media, people can assume like the worst of you, you know, of any person out there. But what does your faith personally mean to you?
Look, I often, it's so funny. So a few years ago, really is a few years ago, I had just finished my Dhuhr Salah and I'd gone on to, in fact, I was still wearing my thobe.
Yeah.
And I checked and there was one of the ugliest comments anyone has ever left for me. One of the ugliest comments anyone has ever left for me. And it was you something about, you know, the type of Muslim and whatever. And I checked the time. I checked the time because I had read my namaz on time.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, she left it 15 minutes ago. So it would have been around the time that I was taking wudu and preparing myself. And I went back and I thought, you know what? And maybe naively so. I went back and I said, so you are talking to me about my faith and about the type of Muslim that I am. I just got off my musalla after reading my dhuhr on time. What were you doing? You were sitting online spewing hate about religion when you should have also been doing what I was doing.
Spot you see? On. Yeah.
So for me, my connection with my creator is very personal. It's not something that I speak on often.
Yeah.
Purely because of what people assume. And I'm okay with people assuming what they want. If my faith bothers you so much, there's something wrong with yours.
Definitely. It's something triggering for you.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, we are not perfect. Allah tells us that we were designed this way.
Mm-hmm.
And the mere fact that we have to keep going back and asking for forgiveness and asking to better ourselves and putting ourselves in a position where we can better ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That for me is such a beautiful thing that you can always go back and try to do better. And I really am so busy trying to do better that I can't be bothered by anyone who doesn't see that.
Is there a time in your life where your faith just pulled you through?
Every day.
Really?
Every day. Alhamdulillah, every single day. You know, I 2 weeks ago, my husband and I quickly ran away and we performed Umrah on the Thursday night, Friday morning, we were, you know, and then the next day and the following day we left. So we literally ran away from Dubai, performed our Umrah and went back to Dubai. And, you know, I was sitting in the haram and all I made dua for was I said, apart from my cat going missing, that's another story. All I asked for was, you know, Allah, I need good people in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I realized that I'm not a toxic person, but I do realize that my personality might trigger some people. And so even though I'm not toxic, I could be toxic for others.
Mm-hmm.
So I constantly ask, you know, Almighty Allah to guide good people into my life. And if I'm not good for someone, to keep me away from them.
Powerful.
You know.
And that's a dua that gets accepted like this.
And really.
It does.
I came home and I got a call from one of my friends and she said something to me. And I put the phone down and I bawled my eyes out. And I said this to her yesterday. I said, you won't believe what that call meant to me, because it was Allah answered my duas through her, that whatever I asked for, she had called, and I'd never said this to anyone. And she had called and she said something to me in that conversation. And it was Allah's way of showing me,
wow,
you know, I have accepted, you know, your dua. I had an incident last week also when we came home. My husband had invited someone home and this person came and I was so worried this person was going to bring their wife along. And they didn't. They didn't. And that for me was also, Allah was showing me that my dua had been accepted, because I know that I am toxic to that person.
Mm.
So, you know, from time to time, it just, you know.
So you ask for everything.
I ask for everything. Whole day, every day.
When you look at the Kaaba the first time, what's your favorite dua to ask Allah?
You know, many, many years ago, one sheikh told us,
yeah,
you know, when you raise your eyes and you lay your eyes on the Kaaba for the first time, any dua that you ask at that time, Allah guarantees that that is the dua that will be accepted. So he said to us, so now you need to, take advantage of the system, he says. When you lay your eyes on the Kaaba for the first time, ask Allah to accept all your righteous du'as going forward.
Nice.
So I've always done that. Every single time, alhamdulillah, I've had the privilege to perform my umrah, I would ask for that. And it's been proven to me so many times. Allah shows me in little ways how far I've come, you know. A couple of years ago.
I feel like crying.
Oh, no, don't cry. Don't cry. I don't want to make you cry. I had a car accident of a few years ago, like 2 years ago. And it's so strange because, like I'm telling you now, I try to improve myself every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be a little bit better than what I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a meme, but yeah, it's the truth, yeah, right? So I'd gone through this whole process and I really wanted to, you know, be a little bit more patient and just be better,
mm-hmm,
you know. So what happened is I was on the highway and we were driving and traffic was starting to build and the road was merging. And as I was approaching, so we were going to be the end of the traffic, basically. Mm. And as I was approaching, I looked in the mirror and I said to my girls, this man is going to knock us. And just as I finished saying the words, he had gone into us. So I actually saw the accident happen, right? Felt the knock. I said to my girls, are you all okay? They said, yes, mom, we're okay. I got out of the car and I checked. The car that I was driving had 30 kilometers on the car. So it was brand new. It was literally brand new, right?
Wow.
I got out of the car and I said to the man, are you okay? He said, why did you stop? He started screaming at me. I said, I stopped because there were cars ahead of me. This is the end of the traffic. I mean, it's like... This man went off and all I said to him was, please give me your driver's license. He's screaming. I am as calm as I've ever been.
You just...
Just give me your driver's license. Exchange details. I said to him, this is my office number. Somebody will get in touch with you. If you like, there's a police station not far from here. You can follow me. We can report the accident together. He decided not to follow me. I went down to the police station, reported the accident, whatever. And the police officer says to me, if you could see the accident happen, why didn't you move? I'm like, but I just explained to you what happened. Anyway, in the evening I got home and I thought about this and I thought, you know what? The accident had nothing to do with the accident.
Yeah.
Allah was showing me how far I had come. I did not scream. I did not raise my voice. The only thing that was important to me at that moment was that my kids were okay. I didn't care for the car. It was brand new. It was, you know, under warranty or whatever the story is. I could send it into the panel shop. I needed to know that the man who knocked me, he was okay. He didn't care that I was okay. By the fact that he went into me, I didn't get mad. I did not get mad. I got home. I made shukr for the fact that my children were fine. And that for me, that night, I think I slept so peacefully knowing that I was so protected.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah. So for me, like, you know, it, like I say, there's little things every day that make me say shukr.
Alhamdulillah. That's a good story.
You think so?
That's a good story. Gratitude, what does that mean to you?
I'm eternally grateful for the little things. It's not the house, it's the home.
Yeah.
You know, that's my mantra.
Yeah.
I'm a very grateful person.
Alhamdulillah. Do you believe in role models?
I do.
Really? So who's your role models?
I don't only have one. I think that it takes a village, you know. And I think even at my big age, I still depend on the village.
Yeah.
You know. So it's important to surround yourself with good people.
100%.
And honest people.
People that can call you out on your crap.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Because if everybody says yes, 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 you're going to look like the emperor's new clothes.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. So it's important to surround yourself with the right people.
100%. That's for me very important. If you can't tell me on my face what I need to improve about myself, and if you constantly like just putting me on a pedestal, then you're not a friend.
Yes. But also on the flip side of that, you have to distinguish or differentiate if this person is being genuine or if they're being nasty, you know. So then there's that also.
Let me tell you, the most honest people in this world, sisters.
Oh,
they
yeah.
will. Yeah. Sisters are on another level.
Yeah. No, for real.
Yeah. They keep you trail. What motivates you? What inspires you?
My biggest motivation is my husband, believe it or
really?
Not. Believe it or not, my biggest motivation is my husband.
Why?
Because he keeps it real all the time. If I wanted to start something now, he'd say, why do you want to do that? No, not that. You can do better than that. You know, so he motivates me all the time. He keeps it real. He's like my biggest fan and my biggest hater at the same time.
What inspires you every day?
I just want to do better.
Really?
That's all.
Really?
You know, even on the bad days, I want to go to bed at night and say, Alhamdulillah, I did better than I was yesterday. You know, even on the bad days.
You have a lot of self-awareness. Where did that come from?
It's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds so silly. When you say it out loud. But you have the choice every morning when you wake up.
Mm.
You know, I do have bad days.
Yeah.
I do have. There are days where I feel like I just want to lay in bed. And then I do. But as long as it doesn't go on for like days, you know. So on odd occasion when I feel that I've just had it, and life is draining and whatever, I give that to me. It's as long as it don't wake up like that tomorrow. Because if I wake up like that tomorrow, then there's a problem.
Definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm also learning to be a little bit more kind to myself. You know, the language that you use when you speak to yourself.
Mm.
But also, you know, there's a lot of things that I've learned on social media. You know, there are women doing amazing things. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And all I did was, you know, bum around in my sweatpants all day, whatever. It's just that there are women out there doing amazing things.
Yeah.
You know.
But we're all doing it some in our own way, making a difference.
Yes.
I want to come back to a question. You mentioned the Dhuhr Salah. The other day I had a really cool open line discussion, and it was about people who struggle with Salah, you know, to read their Salah on time. And I know you read it on time. What advice would you give to those ladies?
I don't always read it on time.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
I also struggle.
Really?
I also struggle. So like in our house, it's so funny. Fajr time in our house is like a silent movie, right?
Okay.
The alarms go off, my husband gets up, and then I get up. And then we go our separate ways and we perform our wudu and then come back and we read Salah and then we get back into bed and then we go, oh, Assalamu alaikum. So it's, you know, but then there are days where the alarm goes off and he gets up and he goes and he reads and then he comes back to bed and he's like, well, you're not reading today. So it's not easy.
It is.
It's not easy. If inshallah one day I hope that I get to that point where I can confidently say I'm reading every waqt on time, yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Inshallah, one day I hope I get there. But for me now, it's still a struggle.
Mm.
You know, it's still a struggle. Or there are the days where, you know, when you are out, and my husband's really good at this, when you are out and you come home and you'll go and you go and read quickly, quickly, you know, and you need to catch up. And then me, I'm distracted. I'm hungry now. I want this. What are the cats doing? You know, those distractions. So it's not that I'm never going to come on here and tell you that I do read.
Yes.
5 times on time. Because that's a lie.
Yeah.
And that's something that I need to work towards. I think it's real. A challenge. And I also think that we need to acknowledge that there are people out there with that kind of challenge.
And everybody's at a different place.
Yes. And that if, alhamdulillah, you are at a point where you are reading 5 times a day on time, maybe you're reading even 6 times a day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That you need to be kind to those who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though your salah might not be your struggle, you might have a different struggle, you know.
And everybody's going through something.
Everybody's going through something.
I want to ask about the cat. Is she okay?
Listen, the cat. This cat stressed me out so badly. All I wanted to do was come home.
I was
in tears. So what happened is we had left.
Yeah.
And we had all left at the same time. So my housekeeper was at home and she's quite loud. And my cat does not like noise. So what happened is the cat had gone missing almost immediately after we had left. And she thought she could find the cat, right? So a couple of days passed and she couldn't. And my sister and my mom happened to pop in there to check if everything was okay. And then she said to my sister, I think the cat is missing.
Oh, gosh.
And then she messaged my husband and said, I'm so scared to message Asha because the cat is missing. So then obviously he tells me and I go into a state. So my sister now goes to the house every day to look for the cat. And my neighbors get involved and I put it onto the neighborhood Facebook and people are sharing it onto Lost and Found Pets. And, you know, and some people are saying, but the cat needs a chip. And I'm like, yeah, the cat does have a microchip, but you need to find the cat, take the cat to the vet, scan the cat. So it's a process. It's not like the microchip doesn't have a tracking device in it. Anyway, so the night now, I'm in a hurry. I need to get home because I'm convinced that if the cat is out there and the cat knows I'm at home, he will return. We are on the flight. My husband gets an SMS. And that's the other thing. As we are now leaving, I'm in tears about my cat. And my husband says to me, just make dua.
Yeah.
Make dua. Allah will bring your cat back.
Okay.
Just make dua. So I am making dua that my cat must be returned to me. So she sends a message. She says, he's in the house. I found him. So alhamdulillah, I was so glad. So what happened is the cat had gone into hiding. He was at home all this time.
Oh my goodness.
He had just found a nice little spot and he was only coming out at night to eat. And because we have another cat, she didn't know that he was coming out to eat. She just assumed it was the other cat eating the food.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously when I got home, it was the first thing I did. Literally dumped my bags at the front door, ran to where I knew he was, put my hand out and made him smell that it was me. And then he came out. I've got pictures. I'll show you.
Okay.
He's sitting in my lap and I felt so bad now coming to Joburg so soon after I had, you know, been away because I was so worried about him.
I was worried about the cat.
So he's fine now. Alhamdulillah. I got so many messages, people asking, is he okay? Is he fine? And somebody actually sent me, and I'll get it when I get home now, a collar with a little tracking device in.
Okay.
So I'm so grateful for gifts. Somebody sent me this as a gift. I can't go through that again. Really, no. I can't. It I can't. Stressful. The amount of stress.
You think he stressed the whole of TikTok out? I want to talk about rapid fire questions before
let's
we
go, end. Let's go.
Okay. So what you are cargo? What's your dream car?
I know this is going to sound silly, but I don't attach value to material things. It's one of the things people don't know about me.
Really?
I've had, alhamdulillah, the privilege of driving some of the nicest cars out there. And tomorrow when it leaves, it's like, yeah, on to the next one.
Okay.
So I've never, somebody once asked me what is, if I've named my cars, I've never ever named my cars because that would make it too personal.
Okay.
So I don't have a dream car.
Okay.
Before I a couple of years ago, I always wanted a G-Wagon and then I got the G-Wagon and then I moved on from the G-Wagon. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I don't have a dream car.
So in China, what car will you be driving?
I don't know. Probably the G-Wagon again.
What's the best country you visited? You travel extensively. So what's the best to date?
I don't have a best, but I can tell you, I won't say the worst. The one that I didn't enjoy was Vietnam.
Okay.
I don't have a best, mm-hmm. but I did not enjoy Vietnam. I will tell you the story after the rapid fire.
Okay. Your favorite purchase to date?
My house, because we managed to turn it into a beautiful home. It's a sanctuary.
Really?
So it's probably the biggest purchase ever, but it would be the house.
What's your favorite spot in your house?
I've got two favorite spots. The balcony at my bedroom, or I've got the swing chair in my salon. And that's like I sit there, I sit, look out at the garden, read my book or whatever. It's my two favorite spots.
What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading, I've really just started it now, Ilaf Shafak.
Oh,
love,
yes,
love, love
yes.
that author. And it's the new one that I bought it the other day.
It's missing me, but I know which one you're talking
about. Yes.
Okay, so you're busy with that at the moment.
I started that.
That's going to be, inshallah, next week in Cape Town. I'm going to read that one there. Mm. Your comfort meal, ultimate comfort meal, what would that be?
Peanut butter and jam sandwich.
Really? Is that the ultimate?
It takes me back to my childhood.
It's underrated. I'll give you that. It's underrated. What's a piece of advice you received that you will never, ever forget?
A long, long time ago, a friend of mine's mother-in-law said something to us in passing. She said, "Don't come home and complain about your husband and then play house with him tonight."
Good
one. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me. So you'll never hear me complaining about my husband, mm-hmm. ever. Ever.
I love that. That's good advice.
Yes.
It's a really good one. Mm. So this is the chai lounge, and chai is so comforting cup of tea. Who would be your ideal chai date? Alive, dead, celebrity, non-celebrity?
I think if I could have tea with my granny, yeah, she's passed now, 18 years. And if I could have her back, just for one cup of chai.
One cup of
chai. I think I would love that.
Same.
I think I would love that.
Are you a coffee person, tea person?
I'm a tea person. I'm a teapot.
And how do you take your tea?
I'd either have a rooibos tea with a little bit of honey.
Okay.
Or a normal five roses. I travel with my five roses. Especially when I'm going abroad, I take my tea because even though the tea abroad might be nice, it doesn't taste like home. So I travel with my tea bag.
So you've got a little
bag. My five roses goes everywhere.
Are you a winter or summer person?
I quite enjoy winter, but I can't handle extreme cold.
Okay.
And I can't handle extreme heat either. I used to be a summer girl until I fainted from the heat in Dubai once. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yikes.
So, yikes. Mm.
So more moderate temperatures.
I quite enjoy Cape Town weather, you know, moderate.
We're about 3 to 4 weeks into 2025. What's your motto for this year?
Inshallah, to do better. To do better. That's all. Just to do better. I often feel like I'm stagnating. But then when I get to the end of the year and I look back and I'm like, yeah, I did come far. You know, whether that's on a personal note or, you know, any other front, the challenges that we overcome or whatever. Just do better. That's all. It doesn't matter what sphere it is in. Just to do better.
What advice would you give your younger self, young Aisha?
Maybe that's the person I should be having chai with, younger me. You know, I was a very awkward teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's also the circumstances and, you know, the challenges at the time. But if I were to go back, I'd say, hang in there. We made it.
We made it. I'd start crying. We made it. And then I'd start crying. And finally, what legacy do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered for?
I'd like to be remembered as someone who tried, not just for myself, but for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. You can't win all the wars of the world, but the little ones that you can, you know, the battles that you can win for yourself and for others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, it's important to help where you can. And I'd like to be remembered for someone who helped and if not helped, at least tried to help, you know.
It's been a really lovely conversation. We went all over the place, but it was really lovely.
I hope that sheds a little bit of light. And I think a lot of the things that I've just told you now, I haven't really spoken to my audience about. you know.
I have that knack of just bringing out stories from people.
Stories for days.
Thank you so much for this, Aisha.
Shukran, it's been so much for having
beautiful
me.
Chatting to you. So you're like a bigger sister that we know on social media. And now to get you in the studio and talk to you has been fantastic. Oh,
shukran so much for having me. This was so awesome.
It really was. Is there anything you'd like to add? Where do we follow you on social media?
So I'm on TikTok, Aisha Jakut. You'll find me there. On Instagram, there's a link on my TikTok to my Instagram because my Instagram is quite a long name.
Thank you to you for joining me on this episode. It was lovely chatting to you, and I hope we can catch up again soon.
Inshallah.
And I think you need to start a podcast.
Maybe this is the step in the right direction.
And thank you to all of you, our wonderful listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Chai Lounge from myself, Safira. Please interact with me on Instagram at Safira Kaka on A, and I have a new page called The Chai Lounge Podcast. But for now, it's Fia Manila and Assalamu Alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.